Thank you, David. Let's pray once again. Now, Lord, we give you thanks for all that's been given. Lord, as we seek to serve you in new ways, as we seek to leave a legacy for the next 35 years of this church, Lord, whether we're here or not, Lord, we seek to that the generations beyond, those kids that have just gone out, the ones that are only brand new babies, the ones that are still to be born, we pray that they will see this and hear these stories of your goodness to this church. Lord, we give you thanks that you have sustained this church for 35 years, that you put a seedling in the heart of a few, that as that seedling grew, that they came and said, this will be a place where people will worship. And we thank you, Lord, for their obedience to go. Lord, we give you thanks for all the ministries that have been in the past, that have touched the lives of people, for all those who have come to know you through this church, for those who have been sent out on mission, for those who have gone into ministry. Lord, for the fruit that has come through this church and the obedience and faithfulness of those in it. Lord, it's a great church. We're so blessed to be here. Lord, I thank you for the congregation that gathers today, the people that are online, those who are part of this church, that make it what it is, a community, a loving, great, fun place to be, but a place where we can grow deeper in you. So we give you thanks and praise that God, this church may only be 35 years, but it's 35 very fruitful years, and we give you thanks and praise. We pray now as we hear the stories that you'll touch our hearts, that you'll work in and through us, that we might be able to share stories in the next years to come. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite David forward. He's going to interview some of our very faithful people that have been around for a long time. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete. My name is David, for those who don't know you, and I'd like to invite some of our founding members up before you get seated. John and Loris and Lee and Marilyn, if you'd like to come up, and Steve. That would be great. Thank you. Give them a clap. Here we go. Take a seat. Grab a microphone between you. I don't care where you sit. It's fine. All right. So we have Marilyn and Lee and Loris and John and Steve. We've been told we can take as long as we need. But if you go too long, because Steve is here, if you go too long, I have the bell ready. Okay. So it's my privilege to chat with some of these founding members today. Thank you, team, for your many years of faithful service and for being willing to share with us today. Unfortunately, Ian and Lorraine Sanderson, wave to them, are away, or they would have been part of this team. So initially, I wanted to talk about when the church first began. So my first question would be, what prompted you to leave Heathmont? It was familiar, it was comfortable, you'd been serving and working there. What prompted you to leave that church all these years ago? Marilyn?
Me. Yeah, Lee and I had been at Heathmont ever since we got married. And
1967.
And... And towards...
Well done, Marilyn.
What, putting up with Lee or Heathmont? When our daughter was... we had sort of been irregular attendees at Heathmont for a couple of years. And our daughter had got engaged. And I'd gone to John Wright to see if he would marry them. And he offered then and he said, we are starting up a new church at... in Kilsyth. So this prompted Lee and I to sort of move over from Heathmont. We hadn't been part of the planning at that time, but we were there right at the very beginning in the little Church of England hall, and we had moved to Ferntree Gully, as I said, so it was more convenient for us. And from that very early days where there was only 12 or 13 people, where we used to take our tea at night to eat, and then have a little service with John Wright at night, and that's how we started.
John and Loris?
Well, this was a challenge, of course, but it was also a privilege to be... I was part of the evangelism committee at Heathbond when the late Rex Haywood had a vision of starting a new church in the Canterbury Gardens area. This vision was number one item on the list every month for about a year. It was extended to the Heathmont Church and others, and others soon joined in. God opened the way, and the Lord blessed us with land in this area. And so it was all underway, and all go, and 32 others, was it? 32 others from Heathmont, and John... 23, yeah. And then John Wright, of course, became the pastor here, and it was a real blessing. When John got onto this vision also, the whole church of Heathmont got behind it, and it was quite an exciting time.
Steve? Something from you?
Well, there'd been quite a build-up at Heathmont, because also we were absolutely busting out of the site there. We were having three services a day and on a Sunday, and it was the sort of thing that, with the build-up to it, it seemed like a real challenge. And John was such an inspiring leader. I mean, I would have followed him anywhere. It was mainly a case of, you know, the challenge and the inspiration, I just thought, you know, this is, and also the feeling you can make a difference somewhere. I was one of the youth group leaders at Heathmont. There was a number of them, and I thought, you know, I could really sort of do something there, so I went in mainly for that reason. Well, yeah, with my parents. Dad actually was one of the ones that helped the Haywoods negotiate the buying of the property. He's a pretty good horse trader, so he and involved in business agency and what have you, and he helped negotiate that. So, yeah, it was a family thing.
Thank you. We weren't there at the start, but I've asked to share a little bit about why we went there. We didn't come from Heathmont. We first visited the church in January 1990, and the church had been going for about 9 months at that time, I think. One of the main reasons we stayed was the sense of family. Our own families lived a distance away, and so the church family, these people in particular, became the grandparents for our kids and the uncles and aunts. I remember even when Paul, our youngest, was in kinder, he took Pat Thomas to kinder for Grandparents' Day. And so for us, it was a blessing to be involved in a family that was extended beyond just ourselves. My next question would be, what excited you about the beginning of this new work? John and Loris?
It's my turn this time. I was excited right from the very beginning when John Wright presented this to the church, because God actually physically started my heart pounding, and I knew that this was something that God was wanting me to do. I was excited because it was something I'd never done before, never been at the beginning of a church. We'd been at Sindel Baptist when we were first married, and that was a new church that had started in my brother's home, but we were not founding members of that. We were early members, but not founding members. This was something new. It also excited me to see the excitement of the core group. We excited each other, I think. And what else have I got to... Oh, answers to prayer was what excited me also. I was talking to Judy Wright yesterday morning. She was the wife of our first pastor. And she was saying that she and John used to say, you know, the answers to prayer that came when we needed something, when we outgrew the kitchen of the Basin Progress Hall for the Sunday school. John just went across the road one day and asked the Infant Welfare Centre directress, would we be able to use their building? He said, without a committee meeting, without anything, she just said, yes, when do you want to start? And so the Sunday school went into the Infant Welfare Centre. We outgrew that. The Scout Hall became available for us to use for the Sunday school. And so children would go with their umbrellas from the Progress Hall up the road up to the Scout Hall. So all these answers to prayer excited me too.
Lee?
The challenge excited Marilyn and I because it was a new venture. We highly respected John and Judy Wright, as many of you would know those names. Some of you wouldn't even know them at all. But they were people that were highly respected at Heathmont Baptist. And for a guy who was 57 years of age to take on a new development in this area was a real challenge for John as well. But he never complained about it at all, just went away on with his normal excitement, supported ably by Judy. John's no longer with us, but Judy is, and we still see her from time to time. So the challenge was a real impetus for Mara and I to join. We never forget it was a part of God's plan as well. And that's always something we focus as Christians, that we pray about, what's God's plan for my life into the future? And that's crucial in decisions that we make. We are selfish at times as people, and we do make our own decisions. But if you don't include God in our plans into the future, you're misguided.
Thank you. Lee, you mentioned the word challenge. What were some of the challenges that you faced? Steve, do you want to go first?
There was no backup. I mean, if we didn't do it, it didn't get done. I remember things like you get there earlier on a Sunday morning, and there'd be a party the night before, somebody's 21st or 18th or whatever. Kept a little shovel in the boot, because invariably somebody who'd had too much to drink would stick his head out around the corner and vomit on the front steps or something. And so, you know, little things like that. And of course you had to lay it up, you know, set all the chairs up and everything, and, you know, out with the damp cloths and wipe all the sticky drinks off the bottom if they hadn't been cleaned. And for a later question, there's also a thing about balloons, but the there were challenges, and also, like, essentially we started off with the core group. So we had all the chiefs, we had all the people that could do stuff, that knew how to organise things and do things. Then the trick was to get the Indians. So then sort of went from there. I mean, I remember when we first started the youth group, we had three, you know, there was a leader and a couple of assistants, so there was three of us, and there were two kids. So the odds were on our side, but, you know, we sort of had a bit of a build-up sort of to do.
John, or Loris? John.
I'll just add to that too, and Harry Thomas used to go down to Heathmont, pick up the organ and bring it up every morning in his ute, and so we had to carry that into the hall. There are other things too that do come to mind, but just left me at the moment. We just considered it a privilege to be able to do all these things that Stephen was talking about there. Sometimes we incline to wait for other people to do these things. We had to do everything virtually because there was no one else, and no one else was going to do it. And Loris came from Heathmont, where she was a musical director, and she was used to direct a big company of people down there and so on. When we came up here, Loris said, we don't need a musical director, we need a secretary. So she took on secretary for many years, and John Wright appreciated that because his administrative skills weren't quite as good as they could have been. But there, everything that was needed to be done, God provided. And so we just was privileged to be part of it.
Lee or Marilyn?
Some of the challenges that we had was once we had a number of children, we were going up to the scout hall and the little kids going over to the community centre over the road was the rain. It was cold and the umbrellas we had to take to get these kids up there, and you run with these dozen or so kids. It's because we didn't have a lot at that time. It really, and the sense of community that we had, that there was only us to do it. So we all got there, we all got started in the mornings, the early mornings. We'll go into the, well, do we speak about the booze at night that were from the parties that were in the progress hall at night? In the mornings we had to mop the floors to get rid of the smell of the grog. But we all did it. It was a sense of community and togetherness, and God was there all the time with us.
I've only written down on my sheet, it was all hands on deck. Simple as that. And the unity with a smaller group is absolutely amazing. We're blessed with the congregation we have today. And we sometimes struggle to find people to do certain roles. In those days, it wasn't a drama. You know, we had an able secretary who was there, and the deacons were just, we became the deacons. And that was the role we played in a small church that grew from a small number.
One of the challenges I remember was on cold mornings, the heating was coin in the slot. So we were running around seeing who had coins to feed in the slot to heat the building. But anyway, that's fine. It was very cold. The next thing I want to talk about is what is one of your favourite memories of the early days. Solari asked me to share a little bit about when we first visited Kilsyth South. On the first Sunday we went, John Wright was on holidays. So we came back the next week, but he was still on holidays. By the time we came back the third week, Graham Scott, who was the man with the clipboard, the Lee Murray of those days, already had it on rosters for set up and pack up. Someone heard I played the organ. So by the time John came back, we were just part of the furniture. But so what else? Lee, Marilyn, favourite memories?
Oh.
Favourite memories. The exciting ones, the funny ones?
No, not the funny ones yet, darling.
Not the funny ones.
Funny ones next.
Oh, favourite memories. The closeness, the sense of community. I think that was just, because we've mentioned before, there's only been maybe 50 people there at the time, but the sense of closeness and community between us all, it was just wonderful.
One of the key things of KSBC has always been the welcome you receive, hopefully. And in those days, it was so important. If someone new came along, well, you know, they were made very, very welcome because we wanted to grow the congregation.
I've just jotted down two. I could think of lots of things that would be favourite memories, but early days, we didn't have access to the Progress Hall during the week. It was Sunday morning only that we had access to the hall. So if anything else happened during the week, it was in our homes. But one particular night, we were called to prayer because one of our members was in real trouble with his health. And the phone calls were made around, and the car park at the Basin Progress Hall was filled with the congregation members who came together to pray for that man. And that's always stuck in my mind. Didn't matter that we didn't have a hall to go to. We just went to we all collected in the car park of the hall and prayed for that man who was seriously ill in hospital at that time. Then the other memory that came was the first meeting we had out here in this building. It was wonderful. It was Christmas Eve, and we had our first service the building was filled with people, overflowing with people. We had it decorated absolutely beautifully. In those days, we were allowed to have candelabras with real candles on. It was decorated beautifully. The choir sang beautifully, David, didn't we? Yes. And the encouragement of so many people coming from other churches to encourage us as we set out into our new building was just a really lovely memory.
There have to have been some... Oh, John, did you want to say something there?
It's okay. Look, the memory's going back in the start of when we first moved into the half of the building out there, and it was really, really something. Quite exciting. But... I'm going to pass this over to Stephen because he came at that time too. What was good to see when we were doing this building was the support we had from all the members. It was just amazing that people would come and handle bricks and handle the grass and just help with the walls up and help with electricity, help with everything. People were just marvellous when in the first construction of the buildings. And I don't know whether Stephen's got any more to say, have you?
No, occupational health and safety in those days. We'd yeah. made it do it these days,
We had a builder as part of the congregation and we just followed the instructions and sort of stick all... Essentially, it was like gluing Lego bricks almost together, putting up the original... thing, and didn't have enough paint, so mixed a couple of different colours together, ended up with pink. But it stood out.
It was cheap.
Yeah, it was cheap.
Okay, there have to have been some now, funny memories, Steve.
Okay, the other things that I remember at the time were we had our first youth group camp. I've got pictures that I'm going to stick out on the table out there later, which has Brittany is this big and Taylor, who was like this big. We had things like, yeah, the first youth group camps that have led to things like state youth games. Now, that first youth group camp, we had, I don't know, maybe a dozen kids there. We've got over 100 that go to state youth games now, and they're all awesome. This is going to be my 18th state youth games that I go to this year, and... It keeps you young. It's fantastic. And they're a wonderful bunch of kids. You know, Kyle, who's running the thing, is, you know, I remember him from Sunday school, you know. And he does a brilliant job. Anyway, SYG, the motorcycle club. We had our own Kilsyth South Baptist Motorcycle Club. And it was great. We started off with four of us going for a ride. And it finished off with, I think it was 20-something, and we'd go off to the country and we'd take church services, and it was absolutely brilliant. I've got a few photos of that. It'll be amongst the pile too. Another really good memory, popcorn. We had the creche room was that very, what is now the very, very corner office. It was tiny. We had 18 kids in there. Because bear in mind, we didn't have a huge congregation, but we were punching out kids like you wouldn't believe. We had these 18 kids in the creche. It was raining sideways. It was about 5 degrees. The weather was horrible. We had just bought a popcorn machine, which also heated the butter and everything. So we just took that along. And for the entire time, Lisa and I were just... punching out heaps of popcorn. None of the kids would have eaten any lunch because they just kept stuffing themselves full of popcorn. They were all happy. The entire church there was just flooded with this smell of butter popcorn. And that was the thing that another memory that sort of goes back. But yeah, and Bethel. Remember Bethel? When we first started, pretty well the entire congregation took on the Bethel Bible study course, and I think it was Wednesday nights that we'd all get together in the progress
Sunday
hall.
Sunday nights.
Sorry, yep. Yeah. And that's right, because we didn't have it during the week. And we'd sit down and we went through this Bethel Bible study course together. And, you know, my main memory from that is, you know, blessed to be a blessing. John didn't want the place to become a social club. He said, we're a lighthouse on the hill. We've been blessed to be a blessing to the community. Yeah, so that was...
Thanks. Other memories of funny incidents, Loris?
Just going to say, we had concerts that you wouldn't believe. Concerts, we would go home absolutely sore with laughter because of these concerts and the acts that were presented at the concerts. We had some in the Progress Hall, but we also had some out here. And
Gary's Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road was a hit.
No one will forget.
Yeah, that was. But we had impersonations of Mick Jagger. We had the Motorcycle Club performing the Can Can. We had Graham Nielsen, our pastor, in a straitjacket. We had ads. One of the concerts set out on the walls, between the acts, we would have ads come on. And at the time, one of the ads on our television sets was an ad called Pick Apart, where you could go and pick a part for your car. You know, you could pick a part. Well, the advert that we had presented to us in the middle of the concert was Nick Apart. And we had on our screens images of our youth out at our car park while we were all in church on Sunday nicking parts of our cars, you see. And so we laughed. That's something that we have lost in this day and age. We were not afraid to laugh at ourselves, to laugh at yourself, and to laugh and allow other people to laugh at other people, for them to allow you to laugh at them, and to allow other people to laugh at you. We were not afraid to dress up in ridiculous outfits. Iris Leach and I were just looking at some of the photos yesterday. Today, people have become so precious about themselves. Learn to laugh at yourself. It's the best medicine.
Thanks. Lee?
Yeah, one of the nights I remember that was very, and I can't forget it, was so great, was that many years ago we used to have ladies shopping tours. And you ladies would go out and spend all of our money and... whether it was the church here, and Amanda Cain, I see there at the back, we used to organise a lot of these for the ladies here at KSBC. So I thought, I've had enough of this. We're going to have a men's shopping tour. And this wasn't easy because the lady who I contacted through whatever they were called said, oh, we don't do men's shopping tours. I said, well, there'd be some places you could take some men. Can we go to a hardware store? Oh, we don't have any hardware. I said, well, leave that to me and I'll find some bloke. I knew a guy who managed one, Mitre 10 in Ringwood, so we started there and we did our tour around. Now, I want these men to stand because they went on this first and only men's shopping tour and they're here today. And that was all about raising a dollar. You can imagine being starting off a new church, no foreign finances, as much as Heathmont Baptists were fantastic in buying this land initially, but we paid them back as we went on in time. But we had to raise money to put a building on this property. And I think it was $88,000, I think it was the original figure that we had to raise. And so this was a fundraiser. We all paid our money and we got, you know, had to pay the company, of course, but they took us to all these places. The most memorable place we went to, the lady says, do you want to go to a lingerie outlet? And I said, yeah, well, we're men. We buy our women clothing at times. That would be a great place to go. Well, when we got to the lingerie place, some of these very conservative Baptists weren't quite sure whether to get off or not. But they were led by a number of us, and we finally went into the lingerie shop. And I bought Marilyn, what did I buy you that? Some fleecy lined pyjamas. So she would look very nice going to bed at night. But I'm not going to mention names, darling. Aww. One of our gentlemen actually went and bought his wife a bra. And I got really, you know, I thought, gee, this is pretty game, you know. I said, I used to go and buy clothing for Marilyn, and I'd find someone in Eastland and say, oh, she's about that size, you know. And I never knew her size, so I just said, you know. And I'd grab some woman and say, listen, excuse me, madam, what size are you, please? And she would tell me, and I would go and buy a size. A size 8 or a size 10, that's right, about that size. But it was a great fun night, and I still remember. And, of course, no.
That was for Marilyn's sake.
Thank you. It's all right. I didn't ask your permission for that, by the way, but I thought you'd enjoy that anyhow. But it was a very fun night, and we raised about $450 for the church.
That's good. Okay. I hope it hasn't got listed what they all bought. I wanted to move now sort of through the years and ask what this fellowship has meant for each of you in during that whole 35-year period. For myself, we came, as I said earlier, in about 1990. Like many of us, we came from a situation where we had been perhaps disheartened, hurt in a previous church. And so coming to, for us, Kilsyth South was a place of refuge. And then as time went on, it became a place of nurture for us and growth for our family as well. To see our sons involved in ministry in those days, and now with Paul in a pastoral position at Mitcham, as a family, we're grateful for the grounding, the encouragement, and the teaching that we've received right from the beginning through to now. Steve, do you want to go next? What's this church meant to you in 35 years?
Well, it's a feeling of belonging to something bigger than yourself. Support, fellowship. And the fact that you can make a difference. You can... Harking back to SYG, you know, we start off with, you know, youth group camps and things like this, and then people go to SYG, you know, state youth games, for those that are unfamiliar. The fact that these young people still include me in their tribe staggers me, but they do. And the fact that you can help with something where they really become very close-knit. Camps are fantastic for that, and it really melds the group together. And it's just a wonderful thing. If I was the most selfish person in the world, I'd still go and help with that because I get so much more out of it than I put in. It's just absolutely brilliant. And if you ever want to think of a way of, you know, trying to find a way of helping something, you know, get behind state youth games or anything to do with the youth group, because that's the future.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah. John?
Yes, I'd like to just add to that, but it's been very encouraging to see many church members going out into missionary works and different parts of the world, also into ministry. We've had so many go out from this church over these years that it's been a real blessing to see this happen. And you know, when the church started, I remember there was a young couple came to our church, and they used to come once a month, and they asked for membership. Well, John said, no, I'm sorry, we want workers here. We won't, you come regularly and join in, and you can be members. So the whole church started with people being so devoted that we were doing things all the time. And John said, no, we haven't got room for people that just sit in the chairs and come to church in those early days. Times have altered, I know. But we love all the people here, that new people coming. We love new people every week, and especially the young people. It was just one of those things that at that time that we felt, yes, we need people to do things. And now, I'd just like to say that we welcome all people new. You're all new to our church, some of you, and you can be part of this. You can be part of this really encouraging time to others and to yourselves, and have a real blessing from God as you join in and help with these things that need to be done too. Thank you.
Just a quick addition there. These two guys here have both been my youth group leader at different stages. So for anything that I've done, it's their fault, you know. But they've been great encouragers, people, and also people like Graham Blood and stuff like that. I hope if you're watching, Graham, thank you. Wonderful people.
Marilyn or Lee, what's this church meant to you over the last 35 years?
It's always great to be able to say that my church home is Kilsyth South Baptist Church. And whenever we travel anywhere and we visit another church, I just say our church home is Kilsyth South Baptist Church in Melbourne. And because we're old, loyalty is crucial. And I've only been in three churches in my life: Tottenham Baptist, where I was raised, and then Heathmont Baptist, which is a part of Kilsyth South Baptist. So really, I've only been in two churches in my life. And hopefully, when the day comes, there'll be a service here for me. But
yet. Not for a while yet. Okay. Briefly, looking at the clock, what sort of legacy do you think this church is leaving for the future? John or Loris?
I think the legacy that this church is leaving is one, a legacy of kingdom building. And by that I mean that from generation to generation, we continue to build on what has gone before. And in recent times, I've just noticed, particularly as we've moved perhaps from to different churches or just in meeting up with people, the number of people that are in ministry in various ways, whether it be pastors, youth pastors, missionaries, working in the community, mums and dads bringing up their children in their Christian way, all sorts of things, who started here, that we've known from babies or children or young marrieds, having their beginnings here in this church. It's been a kingdom building. It's going on. They're not here anymore, but they're building elsewhere. And so this church can be a kingdom-building church where people find their foundations, we grow, we learn, and we encourage each other. It's also a healing ministry, I think, that has followed us right through. Over the 35 years, there have been many, many, many people who have come into this church who've had hurtful experiences, perhaps in other areas. And they have been allowed within the confines of this building and amongst these building people to heal again and to go on. And it's been wonderful to see them continue in their Christian walk after being healed here. So I see the legacy as being kingdom building and healing.
Thank you. Marilyn?
I can only add on to what Loris has said, but the foundation that has been given to children and the growth of our children in the church, I can't overstate how great that has been. We've all seen the number of children who go out to Sunday school and the development, the Christian development that they're getting and the teachings that they're getting.
It's not just the children. When the children, littlies, become primary school age, and then they get to youth group, that's when they make their commitment. And the baptisms in this church over the last few years have been outstanding, with some adults, but a lot of our young people as well. And that starts from nurturing from right through. And that's a real legacy for this church, that we're sending out young men and women who have made a commitment for the Lord, and they'll serve where whatever church they go to. They won't all stay here, and they shouldn't stay here. They'll make their lives in other places in the country.
Going on with that theme, you've got kids like, or families really, the way it sort of works. I mean, you know, like the Dobsons, the Haywoods, the McCartneys, people who are now running the youth group and state youth games and doing all this sort of stuff. The amount of work that goes into that is huge, by the way. They're the kids that, you know, we had in creche and Sunday school and what have you, and they've come up through the church, and they are now, I mean, the people running the youth group now are doing a way better job than, you know, Gary ever did. They are so much more organised, and I mean, some of the stuff we used to do, there's no way you'd be able to do it now.
They don't have the fun now playing soccer, fireball soccer.
Actually, you dobbed me in for that last year, but it was actually Gary's idea. Anyway, but no, these kids are amazing, and people like, okay, Jim Dobson down there, when you look at your family, the way it's going through, the legacy that people like you have working your way through to your grandchildren and what have you, there's not a mug amongst them. And they are running things. They're doing a fantastic job.
Okay. Good. Finally, just very briefly, what excites you? We've talked a lot about the past. What excites you about KSBC today and into the future?
Oh, just some points. The growth of the children again, the number of children we've got going out to Sunday school, new families coming in, outreach with the Two Sparrows coffee cart, and also where it's going to the primary schools, Gladesville and the Basin. Wonderful, it's been set up. You want to add to that?
Yeah, we've been a very generous church over the years. We've struggled to meet budget nearly every year, but by the end of the year, yeah, we do. It's incredible that how God provides for KSBC and other churches also. So as much as we give what we can, God will always provide for the church, provided we keep praying about it, making good decisions as far as the development of the church. Solari chose a song today, which I wrote down after you. We said, "You'll always go before us, as you always will." You know, that's what it's all about. And that God's gone before us in the plan that we've made, and the growth from St. Mary's Church in the Basin to the Progress Hall to this property. That's what's happened over the past.
Thank you. Loris or John?
It's much the same as what Marilyn and Lee have been saying, and following on from what I was saying about meeting people in other areas who've grown up from here. I just get such a thrill to see the young families and the young people walking across through our car park, coming into the church here, knowing that they are the future, the kingdom builders into the future. And that excites me to see that that is happening here. And just the excitement also of knowing God goes before, he goes behind, he stands beside, he's there all the time. And we've seen that happen through the church's history, and I know we're going to see it into the future.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for sharing with us today. I think what we've learned is that it's important to remember and acknowledge our past, because on that we build the foundation for our future. So please give them all a round of applause, and we might have to cut out a song or two, Solari.
Steve, can I just, while there, we're just doing a quick pack up. You missed on sharing your funny stories. I'm sorry. Did you actually get a chance to share any of your funny stories?
Well, actually, the things like the balloons.
I heard the word balloons. I'm like, we didn't get that story.
What used to happen most of the time on the Saturday night, there'd be, you know, they'd have their parties and all this sort of thing, and there'd be helium balloons. And you'd be sitting there in the middle of the church, in the middle of the service, these helium balloons would slowly start floating down. And bear in mind, my kids were little tackers then. You know, Jack, who's now a chaplain up in Gippsland at a school, he's, you know, they'd be waiting, and they're not taking any notice at all of the service. They're just waiting, and then, you know, and you've got these things bouncing around all over the church and stuff like that. So, yeah, there were a lot of funny things. No, I can't say that one.
What I was going to say was...
mildly inappropriate.
I was going to say, please tap in to Stephen and do chat to him after the service and find out some of those amazing stories, because there are many.
I'm going to leave some photos. I'll find a table somewhere and just spread them out, which has got things like, you know, our first barbecue on the block, the motorcycle club, first church youth group camp, which has you in it with your sister, and Gary when he had hair. Actually, yeah, I can't really talk about that. But, yeah, there's a number of photos and things like that, so I'll spread those out. I've actually got to go to a family thing pretty well straight after this. But
please make yourself available over the next couple of weeks. We want to hear these stories and reminisce with you. Thank you. Big clap for... Stephen there. Before we're going to come to finish off our service, but I'd like our Bible reading to be read to us, if that's okay, because I want us to be reminded of what God's word means to us. And so our Bible, where's Phil? There you are. Thanks, Phil. We haven't forgotten you. We're just very aware of the time. But I just think the Bible verse that you're bringing to us is really important. So would you mind, please, sharing that with us this morning?
Thank you. Well, the Bible reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 19. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Isaiah 43, 16 to 19. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness. And that's the end of our reading.
Thank you so much, Phil. He is making a new way. And for those of you that don't know me, I actually was brought up at Heathmont Baptist Church. And so my first church that we came to when we moved to Ringwood, and from 1986 through to when we moved to the UK 2004, Heathmont was my home church. And I grew up with John Smith as my pastor. And then I remember when the church came and built, and our family came and we celebrated with you. We celebrated anniversaries. My parents shipped us into the car, and we're like, we're not going to Heathmont today, we're going to Kilsyth. And I remember at one point it was heaving because our family was always late. Didn't get a car park. We would, you know, spent 5 minutes finding a car park at the Progress Hall, and sensing that what God was doing, there was something new. There was something exciting. And the legacy that continues is what we want to hold on to. That God fearing, the reverence of who He is and what He brings to our church in a new season is so important to reflect upon. As we come now and sing, we're going to sing two.